It's time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight check.
He didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King put these.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds. One launches a three. Good if it goes. It does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Hunts into the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Hite.
We welcome you in, everybody. Tuesday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite right here on The Roar. Tuesday, July 1st, 2025. We are glad to have you with us. 654-ROAR is the number. If you'd like to check in, a jam-packed program today on a Tuesday with much to discuss in the world of college football, the NFL, and more. No Braves baseball last night, but we did have some Major League Baseball, including John's Pirates staying hot with the 7-0 win over their division rival in the St. Louis Cardinals. Elsewhere across Major League Baseball, nothing really relevant to Atlanta. Philadelphia did pick up a win over San Diego, which helps the Braves in the wild card race, and same to be said from Boston over Cincinnati. In the NBA, I'm a little bit frustrated with Shams for ESPN because he keeps promising us the world when it comes to this breaking news in the NBA. We're not really getting a ton of breaking news. We did have a couple trades last night, some contract extensions, some sign and trade action. So we'll walk through all of that in the world of the NBA. And we have a little bit of an update as well on the LeBron trade saga, as it seems like it might be more likely for him to get traded than previously believed. So we'll keep you in the loop on that. And of course, we've got some Clemson football, some college football talk to get to as well throughout the course of the program. And we're looking forward to hearing from you at 654-ROAR. John, not a super eventful night in the sports world by any means. We do have Wimbledon to kind of tie this over this morning in the first round, but outside of that, not a ton going on.
Maybe not a ton for you, but is the hottest team in baseball in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Maybe.
Some are saying. Just a few, not that many. No, it's, you know, pretty funny to see that this team continuing to beat quality opponents again. Another just absolute trouncing of the Cardinals, which was just so incredibly shocking to see. But yeah, no, it was a low-key Monday night in sports.
Yeah, definitely. Seems like an accurate synopsis to me. Not a lot going on, and again, like NBA free agency day one used to mean something.
Well,
it used to be the best.
It used to. When we had accurate, you know, measuring of this thing going into it,
right?
There was one signing, and we'll get into all of it, and then we can get into the lack of the splash and something that clearly the NBA is struggling with right now. But there was a player you spent the majority of this past regular season singing his praises, talking about how this would be someone that teams should be sprinting to sign.
Yes.
Last night. And I was a little surprised to see the destination and, quite frankly, the money that gets tossed around in the NBA, the lack of a deal.
Same here. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Ty Jerome to the Memphis Grizzlies for 3 year, $28 million?
$9 million annually is probably the best contract in the NBA right now. I don't really understand. So let's walk through this. He finishes runner-up in sixth man of the year. He averages 13 points per game, shoots 52% from the field, 44% from three. He averages 27 points per game as a starter, and his numbers all ridiculously skyrocket without Donovan Mitchell on the floor, meaning he's more than capable of carrying his own load for your offense. How in the world is he only getting $9 million annually? Like, I saw a bunch of fan bases in the comments last night saying, wait, that's only going to cost us $9 million? Why didn't my team do this?
When D'Angelo Russell's getting 13.
Right.
When was the last time he played quality basketball?
Exactly. And then Luke Kennard, who we'll get to the Hawks, who had an unbelievable night, and they're shaping up to be really good. Luke Kennard, nowhere near as good as Ty Jerome, in my opinion. He gets an $11 million deal last night, 1 year, $11 million. So he's getting more on a one-year deal than Ty's making in any of the years of it. To be honest with you, I just didn't understand. Now, there are multiple logical explanations for why Jerome's valuation dropped. The first would be he crapped the bet against the Pacers. Like, he was terrible against the Pacers. He played horrible in game one. He played horrible in game two. But my commentary behind that would be, what are you valuing more? 87 games, which would be the regular season, and then the first round of the playoffs where he was excellent, or a couple games where he played poorly being asked to do something he didn't do all year, which was start next to Donovan Mitchell in a backcourt. I for the life of me, I can't understand. Less than $10 million per year, and ESPN's article calls it an overcorrection. I think it's a massive overcorrection based off of a five-game sample size, and I also think you have to look at what was being asked of him defensively, because that's what a lot of people hyperfixated on.
Right.
He's playing next to Mitchell. Mitchell doesn't play any defense, and then Garland is his other backcourt running mate as well, so I was really shocked to see this. But another thing is, it looked at the beginning of the offseason like Jerome was going to be a shoe-in to go back to Cleveland, but Cleveland's tax situation made it complicated to retain him because they were already over the second luxury tax apron entering free agency, which means they would have had to absorb $70 to $80 million additional in tax bill to re-sign Ty Jerome, even to just a $15 million per year deal. So they would have essentially had to double the contract for what the cost would be on the back end because of the new CBA and the stupid cap within the NBA. It hindered Cleveland from re-signing Ty Jerome. So then everybody's kind of looking around saying, you got money because I don't got money. Well, you got money because I don't got money. And then there's like three teams that could realistically afford Jerome at $20 million a year or whatever people thought he was going to get, which was Brooklyn, who decided to take on Porter Jr.'s salary dump instead of signing Jerome, and then Detroit, who decided to go and get Caris LeVert. So all of a sudden, Ty Jerome's this good player who has this great season who doesn't have a landing spot and has to settle for $9 million annually with Memphis. Memphis got a steal. That's the best contract in the NBA given what his production looked like this year.
Memphis was busy yesterday.
They were very, very
busy yesterday.
Very busy.
You get Jaren Jackson Jr. on his now max, what is it, five-year, 240 extension. You were able to go out and get Aldama on a three-year, $52.5 million deal to come back. Cam Spencer's coming back. They were active. I would say probably the most active team yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like the Jaren Jackson or the Santi contract in all honesty, but
was the Jaren Jackson one just kind of like the way the CBA works, they kind of had to give it to him?
It's kind of one of those things where if you don't pay him, he walks and goes and gets a max elsewhere, so like you either lose your player for free or you pay your player
and then try and trade him.
Yeah, okay. So it's like it's one of those things where like the Wizards kind of got pigeonholed with Beal and they kind of got pigeonholed with John Wall too. It happens. Like the Blazers are giving Jeremy Grant like $33 million a year, and it's the concept of somebody has to take the shots and score the points. Like there's 30 teams in the league. Each team has to have somebody that takes the shots and scores the points. And as a result, you get your Jaren Jackson Juniors, who are really just a 7-foot shooting guard that doesn't want to rebound. And now he's making a max contract. So more power where it's due, John. But yeah, I really am in agreement with you. People were shocked across the league yesterday that Jerome only got $28 million total or whatever. ESPN's article calls it a massive overcorrection. I tend to agree. I don't think he's a max contract player, but I think his services are certainly worth $15 to $17 million a year with what the current NBA... Like, Luke Kornet just got $10 million a year last night. He's making more than Ty right. Jerome. Like, you can't tell me that's correct.
So Jed brings up an interesting point on the text line. I want to read this off because this, he also addresses a topic we didn't have time to get to yesterday, and I want to give you the opportunity to tackle this now. Jed gets it on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. How about the Pelicans signing big man Kevin Looney? They should be good in the front court. I think Chase Hunter can make that team in the back court,
yeah.
says Jed.
I think Chase might be able to make the team as well. And, I will say this about the Pelicans, just unrelated to Chase. I don't know what in the world they're doing. They've made three acquisitions this offseason thus far, and none of them can shoot. And they're all supposed to play next to Zion, who can't shoot. And your team already can't shoot. Not sure what in the world the plan is down there in New Orleans, but more power where it's due to the decision makers, I guess. I'm rooting like heck for Chase to make the team. That goes without saying. And with the Exhibit 10 contract, we briefly explained it yesterday. You essentially get a camp invite, which has a chance of being converted into a two-way. We've seen the Pelicans give a little bit of flexibility to some two-way players in the past, you know, and we've seen avenues able to be paved for players to work their way into playing time and then get to a contract. Like, look at Jose Alvarado, who was from Georgia Tech, who got into the league on one of those little two-ways with the Pelicans and ended up working his way up to a contract. So that's the goal for Chase Hunter. Really hoping he can be able to do that and play well in camp this upcoming offseason. And I tend to agree with Jed that I think he's got a legitimate chance to make this roster. Now, does that mean playing time? No, not necessarily. But making the roster is a big deal in its own. So, especially for an undrafted free agent, which is what Chase Hunter is. So, I really hope he can find a way. You got to shoot the ball well in summer league and camp, John. It is what it is. And that's the sample size you're going to be judged off of. So, you have to play well and you have to make most of the opportunities. So, obviously rooting for Chase. That goes without saying. 654 Roar if you want to check in with us. Couple texters getting in. And yeah, a Hawks fan is singing the praises of Ansi Sela, who is their new general manager brother. I can't blame you. I put out something on Twitter last night, and I'll just go ahead and say it to start off the show on a good tone to get the people going. I think the Hawks are going to the NBA Finals.
Oh, that's bullcrap.
I think the Hawks are going to the NBA Finals. John can bullcrap button me. It's probably a little bit deserved, because when you say something like that, you deserve some skepticism. I think the Hawks are the best team in the East on paper right now, not named Cleveland. And I find it difficult to trust Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell as their lead guard, because Trae Young has done something as a number one option that Donovan Mitchell has never done. Go to the conference finals. Donovan Mitchell has three seasons in which his team finished as the number one seed, and he has never been to the conference finals. So if that's the primary competition for Atlanta in the East right now, and given the injury status of Milwaukee, Indiana, Boston, it is. I like Atlanta going up head-to-head against Cleveland if those are the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, as far as the Hawks go, I think people really underrate Trae Young as far as a league-wide value scale goes and don't realize how bad his rosters have been throughout the course of his career. So, early, way too early prediction on July 1st. My front-runner in the Eastern Conference right now with the way the rosters are shaping up is the Atlanta Hawks.
That's just so crazy to me. Because I just find such a ceiling to Trae Young's game, where it's just so volume-based, and I don't really buy Kristaps Porzingis being available more times than not. I need to see it to believe it.
They got to stay healthy,
obviously. And part of that is, I mean, they got to stay healthy, but they have to overcome being the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a franchise with rich history and tradition, with a lot of championships and banners.
It's not.
It's. I mean, listen, I understand that next year in the East, we are going to have... It's going to be a bit awkward having to process the fact that Cleveland is your overwhelming one seed without LeBron James for the first time in, I don't know, 50 years. You know, the Orlando Magic are going to be...
Good.
Really good.
Yeah, like really good.
So
yeah.
We are going to have... And like the Pacers, who just went to the finals, probably won't be there. You know, Boston, fire sale, getting rid of everything. You know, the iconic franchises, if you will, in the East are probably all going to be going through a little bit of turmoil next year. It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird to process that the Atlanta Hawks are going to be one of the teams to beat. They're in the East.
Yeah, they're a legitimate contender. And that's not just... I knew I wasn't going crazy when I saw other people saying this last night online, where it was like, man, like the Hawks actually have a legit team and this is a contender in the East. And again, I don't think this is some world-beating nucleus of players that I would invest a ton in if they were in the other conference. But in the East, where you really only have one team with the target on their back right now in Cleveland... Atlanta's probably your 1B in the Eastern Conference right now, folks. And the Magic are probably in that same conversation or maybe a little bit behind. And I know it's a weird and uncomfortable conversation of teams that are usually not in the mix. But when you have three Achilles tears to star players in one conference from contending teams, this is kind of what you're going to get for a season while those players are on the pine. Like, you don't have Tatum with Boston. You don't have Damian Lillard with Milwaukee. And you don't have Halliburton with Indiana. I'm not buying stock into any of those three teams while they're star players are down. So that means somebody's got to step up and be in those 2, 3, 4, 5 spots. And right now, my prime candidates are Atlanta and Orlando. Those are two teams that I think have had phenomenal off seasons and continue to bolster their roster. John, I can sell you a little bit more on the Hawks before we take a quick break. A part of the reason that I'm in on this team, at least making the playoffs and getting in a deep playoff run type of format, is because of Quinn Snyder's regular season success dating back to Utah. He's been the one seed multiple times. He made the playoffs 6 of 8 seasons with the Jazz and was a top 4 seed in 5 of those 6 seasons. This is a guy that the regular season has never been a question for. So that's a part of why I'm believing in Atlanta next year, is because I think Quinn gives him a pretty high floor in the regular season. And again, a lot of this is health reliant, as is most of the NBA in 2025. But if the Hawks just stay primarily healthy to their key players, I don't see any reason this team can't win 50-plus games and be your 2 seed in the East next year. I don't think they're as good as Cleveland regular season-wise or on paper, but the rest of the East is so weak that somebody's got to be the 2, and somebody's got to be the 3. And right now, my front runners for those positions respectively are Atlanta and Orlando. So we're going to take a quick break. A bunch of texts flooding in on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. 654-ROAR is the number. A bunch of texts getting in on PJ Hall as well. I've got some commentary for you guys on all of that right after this here on The Roar.
Folks, I think we can all agree America is facing a health crisis. Lots of folks are looking at medication shots and pills to do the trick. But the reality is that the answer is natural. And the answer can be found through our friends at PhD Weight Loss. You're going to drop pounds not only safer, but also faster the natural way. I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks without rebound weight gain, without hunger cravings, and without long-term dependency on medications, because I don't want to be on medication for the rest of my life, and I bet you don't either. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team would love to help you. Here's the deal. You can get started right now with a free body scan and personalized metabolic assessment. It takes less than 5 minutes, and I can't tell you how helpful it was for me setting myself up for success in the long term. You'll hold the keys to your personalized metabolic plan in your hand. Don't trade your health for a quick fix. Don't become another statistic. You can do this. Call now for your free body scan, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one. Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Anyone know a good plumber? It's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one. Tom Plumber.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of 2 national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
It's boating season, and Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina can help you find the boat of your dreams before July 4th. Shop top brands including Veranda, Crestliner, Lund, Bayliner, Pinecraft, and more at Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina. Whether you're looking to buy or rent a boat or service your boat by certified Yamaha technicians, Clemson Marina can get you on the water. Don't let the summer pass you by. Visit Eclipse Marina Seneca or Clemson Marina to explore new and pre-owned boats, take out a rental, or service your boat with certified Yamaha technicians.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Looking for a tractor that works as hard as you do? Come to Mahindra of Anderson, your local source for the toughest, most reliable tractors on the market. Whether you're working the farm, maintaining your property, or need heavy-duty power, Mahindra has the perfect tractor, UTV, implement, or trailer for the job. Buy it new, shop pre-owned, schedule your service appointment, or order parts with the best customer service right here in the upstate of South Carolina. Visit Mahindra of Anderson at 507 Pyramid Dairy Road or online at mahindraofanderson.com.
The Black Friday in July event from Dell Technologies is here with great offers on trusted technology. You'll also discover huge deals on new AI-ready laptops like the Dell 14 Plus featuring Intel Core Ultra processors starting at $699.99. Save on top accessories, plus enjoy fast, free shipping and other benefits. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. The Black Friday in July event from Dell Technologies is here with great offers on trusted technology. You'll also discover huge deals on new AI-ready laptops like the Dell 14 Plus featuring Intel Core Ultra processors starting at $699.99. Save on top accessories, plus enjoy fast, free shipping and other benefits. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Tired of all the fake news in the sports world?
He read an article.
I read it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
That's where we come in, to give you the truth in sports. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Back in, Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co. Roofing text line. We're talking a little NBA free agency. We'll get some NFL and some college football with some Braves at some point during the show. John, a couple more things to add on NBA free agency. A couple texters are getting in. One texter says, Trey's never been on a winning team, college or pro. I think that says a lot about his own game, not his own teams. I would push back. He took Oklahoma to the NCAA tournament as a college player. He's been to the Eastern Conference Finals as a number one option in the NBA, which is something a lot of players and stars in this league can't boast. And to be honest, he's done that in spite of some pretty bad roster construction and management and bad contract usage and allocation of funding. Like, they extended John Collins and Capella after they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They immediately tried to dump both of those contracts unsuccessfully with Capella. Like, Trey's been thrown to the wolves with some really bad rosters, and this is the best roster of his career. So I'm excited to see what he's got. I understand his play style can be a bit obnoxious. He falls under that foul-baiting crop of players, right? But he's a generational playmaker, man. He's led the NBA in assists for five straight years or whatever, and it's increased every year. He's slated to average, I think there's a non-zero chance, just with some of the data that I was looking at last night. If Trae Young stays healthy, there's a non-zero chance he breaks the single season assist record this year for the Atlanta Hawks. I was looking through a bunch of stuff last night and watching a bunch of film. Trey led the league in potential assists last year. His players couldn't make shots. The Hawks were first in shot quality in the whole NBA last year. They were 19th in open three-point shot making. So what did they do? They added Porzingis, who's a sniper. They added Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who's a great shooter. And they added Luke Kennard, who's one of the best shooters in the NBA. So if things break right next year for Atlanta, and this unfolds the way I think it does, I think Atlanta's going to have a top five offense in the NBA. I think Trey is going to break records with the assists, and I think this team is going to be in the Eastern Conference semifinals at minimum. But again, this is health reliant, and with a guy like Porzingis, he makes your ceiling very high when he's on the floor. He also makes your floor a lot lower when he's not on the floor with some of those injury concerns.
We have seen the Houston Rockets be very aggressive over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, the Kevin Durant trade being front of mind, but the re-signing of Fred VanVleet, Dorian Finney-Smith coming over on a four-year deal. You're also able to bring over Clint Capella. What do you make of these new-look Houston Rockets?
Yeah, I think the Rockets are a contender, and I think the Rockets are pretty definitively the second-best team in the Western Conference right now. You have to give that respect to Oklahoma City as the defending champions of both the West and the NBA. But there are two teams in the West that got a lot better throughout the course of the offseason thus far, and it's Houston and Denver to me. And I think those are the two primary competition teams that are going to serve as primary competition to OKC challenging for that crown next year, John.
I would like you to play player agent here.
Okay.
And I want you to find the best fit for these free agents I'm going to throw at you.
Okay.
I want to start with a guy who just got done playing in the NBA Finals for the Indiana Pacers. Center Miles Turner is a unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
What do you think makes sense for him, or where do you think he ends up landing?
I think he's going to re-sign with Indiana. I think Indiana has pigeonholed wouldn't be the right word. Indiana can't afford to let any of the core members of their team walk after a run like that. You did something that you've never done as a franchise. You were, what, 48 minutes away from winning an NBA championship for the first time, and your best player blew his Achilles. You need to keep that core intact and at least run a similar making of that core back one time when Halliburton's back in the fray in 2 years. To be frank, you owe it to the guy. And I don't really subscribe to that mindset more times than not. In this instance, with the historic run, with all of the historic moments, with how clutch Halliburton was, you need to retain that core of players around him. I think Miles Turner lost himself some money in the finals, and I think he was pretty poor in the playoffs if you want to just nitpick a member of the core from Indiana. But I also don't think you can do better than Miles Turner, and you have an in-house extension which you're going to be able to get for a little bit cheaper. It's not going to cost your tax bill as much. It's the right move to just re-sign Turner and pray he doesn't run you too much. I'm expecting something in the $30 million a year annual value, maybe a little bit lower after the lackluster finals in the range of 25.
Oh boy. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Up next, a player you have a lot of experience with from the Golden State Warriors, Jonathan Kuminga.
I just hope it's, you know, away from my team, whether it's in Shanghai or whether it's in Brooklyn. I hope it's not on my team. And the Warriors have no rationale for why they would re-sign Jonathan Kuminga at a $30 million a year bill. I mean, the guy was getting do-not plays in the playoffs. We all remember it. None of the vets were advocating for him. Kerr's been very critical of his selfishness and his inability to kind of adapt to the system that's been so successful for Golden State over the past decade of NBA basketball. So I'm cool off of Kuminga. As far as where a fit goes elsewhere, I think the most likely destination here is probably Chicago at this juncture for a potential sign and trade. The Warriors have been inquiring on a couple assets that they currently possess that could go the other way and help Golden State's team next year. A guy like Kobe White and a guy like Nikola Vucevic would be the two that I would be targeting for Golden State. So if I had to give a destination for Kuminga, I think he's sign and trade going to Chicago. One of Vuce or Kobe White's coming back the other way to go to the Bay.
DeAndre Ayton, after being bought out of his contract, is now a free agent. What do you think the big man formerly of Arizona is going to do here?
I think he's going to the Lakers. I think that Rob Pelinka is one of the most fortunate men in sports with how he gets these players that just seemingly fall into his lap. But it feels like he's going to catch another break here, and I think DeAndre Ayton is L.A. bound. They lost Dorian Finney-Smith yesterday, which was a big loss for them. He's a really good role player, one of the best in the NBA with his role of 3-and-D, and he can also switch and defend. But the biggest issue last year for John for the Lakers, we saw in the playoffs against a Timberwolves team that dominated them on the interior, size and rebounding. DeAndre Ayton's not great, but he's going to go out there and get you 14-and-10 every night, and he's got a little bit of size, and he can rebound. So from a structure fit, I see a big-time need in Los Angeles for a center, and I think Ayton would probably fall into the clutch Kool-Aid, is what I like to call it. Listen to Rich Paul and be like, yes, playing with LeBron is in my best career interest, when more times than not, that's not the case.
The next player I would ask you about would be Malik Beasley, but currently under federal gambling investigations. Yeah. I don't know what team is really going to be active, trying to acquire his services.
Yeah.
One more player of youth, and then we're going to go to some old names really quick. Where do you think Quentin Grimes ends up?
This is a weird one for me. I don't really know. I think Quentin Grimes is another byproduct of the somebody has to take the shots theory, which is kind of what happened last year on a garbage 76ers team that had everyone injured. So Grimes steps in with his cape after Jared McCain goes down and Embiid goes down and PG goes down. And you look at the stats and you're like, man, 22 points a game after getting traded to Philly? But then you look at the team's record in those 28 games and it's like 5-23. So I don't know. This is a weird case scenario for me to evaluate because I don't know what his valuation looks like across the league, but I would anticipate him to get $15-plus million per year, and I think he deserves that. Now, something to acknowledge here as a part of this is that the Philadelphia 76ers did tender Quentin Grimes a qualifying offer, which means he's restricted. So whatever he gets offered, the Sixers have the ability to match. I would just say, based off of that, probably he's going back to Philly. His agent is saying they want $25 million a year. If somebody gives Quentin Grimes $25 million a year, good luck would be my comment to that. But I would say right now he's probably going back to Philly just because they have his rights as a restricted free agent.
Fair enough. And then you don't spend a lot of time with these, but three elder players in the league. We have Al Horford, Russell Westbrook, and Chris Paul. This just for, you know, comedic purposes.
Al Horford's going to end up going to Golden State. That was kind of what the rumblings were yesterday, and that's a positional need as well because Golden State lost Kevon Looney to New Orleans. Chris Paul, he's allegedly deciding between the Suns and the Clippers. I'm going to guess he goes back to the Clippers to play with James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. And then as far as, you said, Russell Westbrook was the last one. Reports were that he was talking to the Sacramento Kings. Now apparently the New York Knicks are involved and potentially would want his services.
To think we could be living in a world this fall and winter where point guard Russell Westbrook is being coached by Dawn Staley. Man, what a time we could be having in the NBA this year.
Yeah, and South Carolina's athletic director did confirm that the Knicks did reach out and call Dawn Staley asking her about her interest in the New York Knicks job. It looks like they're going to go with Mike Brown, the former Sacramento Kings coach, and obviously his time with the Lakers, the Warriors. We all know Mike Brown. He's been around for forever. But Dawn Staley did apparently get a phone call there, and that's been confirmed by multiple sources at this point. So, interesting. Wonder if other NBA teams follow that method to the madness and maybe give Dawn a call. You know who I'm surprised hasn't gotten a call? Gino. I'm very surprised Gino's
never
gotten a call.
I'm sure that's more of he has channeled that there is no interest.
Right.
When watching the news this morning, because I am now a dad and get up super early before the sun comes up to watch the news, I didn't realize that if she were to take a NBA or a WNBA coaching position, Dawn Staley would owe $0 buyout to South Carolina.
Yes.
Whew.
Yep. I mean, Dawn's getting paid. Don't get it twisted, but that NBA check starts coming in. That's a little bit different
absolutely. And what that would mean, you know, in sports to have Dawn Staley coaching an NBA team would be, it would say a lot. So, yeah, no way would she ever turn that down.
I think everybody always kind of assumed it was going to be Becky Hammond, right? If there was going to be a female head coach in the NBA. But that would be a plot twist if it were Dawn. And listen, all I'll say is right now, Dawn better get her agent on line one. Be ready for those negotiations because Steve Kerr is stacking 17.5 M's this year as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. 17.5 mil to coach an NBA team. And that's where a lot of the Spoelstra and Ty Lue, 15 mil. Mike Malone, before he was fired, 12 mil. Doc Rivers is scamming $11 million out of the Milwaukee Bucks this year. If you need your morning ruined at home, wherever you are right now. And then Budenholzer got fired from Phoenix. He doesn't care. He was getting 10 mil. That buyout was like 25 mil. So the money is crazy in the NBA is the point there. If Dawn got a call, take it. We would all love to see it, and you're going to get paid, and you can walk back to Columbia whenever you want, and you've got your spot there. Like, there's nothing preventing you from coming back.
So I know that you are upset just like a lot of people online at Shams, by declaring this was going to be the craziest free agency offseason we have ever seen in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm frustrated.
I am going to give you an opportunity here to call your shot that will save this. that we will look back, because clearly if a Kevin Durant trade didn't do it,
yeah,
which it shouldn't, because you did it on the day of Game 7 of the NBA Finals,
right,
took all the luster out of it, in my opinion. This is your chance to call your shot at the move that will actually save Shams' resume and his street cred here with this move if it gets pulled off.
Man. Well, first of all, Josh gets in and says, really didn't need that kind of negativity. I could coach the Bucks and get the same results. Sorry, Josh. I hated to ruin your morning. As far as a move that I think could salvage this NBA free agency, and we'll take a quick break. We'll shift gears to some college football and some Braves on the other side. I'm going to say LeBron gets traded to Golden State. They were walking. They did this entire segment last night, John, on ESPN about why it was so impossible to trade for LeBron except for one team. And that one team was Golden State. And the saving grace for Golden State was the fact that Jimmy Butler can match that salary on a max contract. That is really the only way that a contending team can trade for LeBron James without nuking the core of their team. Like, they were walking through some of the rules with the cap restrictions and such. Cleveland can't really do it because they're already a second apron team. So they would have to trade Garland, Jarrett Allen, and Max Strus, plus a package of picks to get LeBron legally with the cap and the tax rules. The same can be said for a team like Dallas, who would have to trade all of their role players. But with the Warriors, they already have another player that's making a similar max contract in Jimmy Butler, and they could do a one-for-one swap of LeBron and Jimmy. Now, they said they didn't think it was going to happen because for a multitude of reasons. Like, there were a bunch of reasons given why LeBron would want to stay, but then they played devil's advocate. Listen, LeBron's got a better chance of winning a championship next to Steph and Draymond next year than he does next to Luka and no center in L.A. And L.A. could get Jimmy, who plays well with Luka. You could have a nice little contrast of styles there. And Jimmy's got another year on his contract, so you could bring in another max player next offseason for L.A. So just because I don't think Giannis is going to get moved, if there's anything to save this NBA offseason at this point, I'm going to go out on a limb and say there is a non-zero chance LeBron James is traded to the Golden State Warriors to team up with Steph Curry. And I think that might be the only realistic destination for LeBron James because of the second apron, because of the cap and the tax rules, and because of what contracts are going to have to be exchanged going the other way to make the money match. So there you have it, John. That's my bold prediction. If there is a saving grace of this NBA offseason, it would probably be LeBron James to the Golden State Warriors, and I would have to root for LeBron in that instance, and I'm not sure how I would feel about that.
Boy, it would, for a lot of people who are already out on LeBron James because of the "I don't chase rings, but I actively chase rings" yeah. hypocrisy that comes out of his mouth, boy, would that be a tough pill for a lot of people to swallow.
For sure. Definitely. John, let's talk some college football on the other side. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. We've got a ton to talk about throughout the course of the program today, and we'll also get to some Braves at some point because the Braves have flip-flopped a couple pitchers in a rotation, and they're getting primed for a three-game home series, which they really need to win. So we'll talk about that at some point as well. Stick with us here on the Roar with Faxon and John.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
Experience the reliability of Davis Services, where your comfort is our priority. We specialize in the maintenance, service, and installation of all major HVAC brands for both residential homes and small businesses. With over 5,000 satisfied maintenance customers, a dedicated team of 100 employees, and more than 60 service vehicles, we ensure prompt and precise attention to your needs. Whether it's heating, cooling, plumbing, or pest control, we've got you covered. Call 864-432-1785 today to experience unparalleled service.
All over Greenville, people are asking, what's a Vermeer?
Well, Vermeer is one of Greenville's newest corporate citizens. The company builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing underground utility construction. Vermeer machines are leading the way in soft dig trenchless innovation, enabling the exposure of underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods. Get the scoop at vermeer.com/dig.
Do you love Takis Fuego chips? Well, you've never had them like this. If you never tried them, now's your chance. Wendy's new Takis Fuego meal is here with crushed Takis Fuego chips on a spicy chicken sandwich with chili lime sauce and a creamy corn spread, plus a small Fuego fries inspired by Takis Fuego chips and a bag of Takis Fuego chips while supplies last and a small drink available till midnight or later. Visit your local Upstate Wendy's to give it a try today.
We're here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you need more people. Obviously, that's a good thing because the business is growing. But when someone comes to work for you, what do you hear from them about their work experience?
We're looking for team members who like to work outdoors and enjoy the culture of do the right thing. We're a company that's going to do right things for our employees, and then our employees do right things for the client and the community.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
All right, huddle up, guys. Hey, are you hurt? Better send in the special team. Trammell and Mills, get in there. I call them the local law firm because they're local lawyers, not just a bunch of talking heads. And they know how to win. When one of you gets injured at work or wrecked in a pileup, Trammell and Mills are fighting for you. Okay, call that number.
485-8585. Hut, hut.
That's the right call. Trammell and Mills, local lawyers that know how to play the insurance game.
Come on back for the Tuesday edition of Out of Bounds, noon to 3 right here on the Roar. Start July off right with a look at college football. We are going to have tons of college football news and notes, including our all-quarter-century Clemson defense. We did offense on Monday's show. We're going to do that again with your help on Tuesday, so you're going to want to come in for that. Plus, we'll get you ready for Braves, Angels, and survey the entire landscape of Major League Baseball. All that and more on a Tuesday. Join us.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number. If you'd like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co Roofing text line, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to shift gears from NBA free agency talk, obviously, with it being the first day of NBA free agency, John. Definitely worth a couple segments of coverage here, keeping everybody in the loop in the NBA. And I think the Hornets are going to be a little bit better this year. So maybe that maybe that incentivizes some of the local audience to watch
they
the NBA a little bit more.
They got a Plumlee.
Oh, yeah. Plumlee's back. So if you... if you need any additional incentive to tune into some Hornets basketball this year, they might win 40 games. That would be my sell, is they might win 40. And with how bad the East is, there's a chance they make the playoffs. I will say that.
Winning 40. That is the question. Will the Braves have 40 wins by the end of this series coming up here if they are able to take care of business and take 2 or 3 at home?
I'm going to say tentative yes. Listen, first and foremost, prayers up to Wash. We haven't talked about that a ton on the program here, but Ron Washington's on a leave of absence right now for health-related reasons as the manager of the Angels. We don't have a ton of public details, but you know, with the age and with the fact that he's taking a step away, it's not good. So sending prayers to Wash and his family. Obviously, Braves legend amongst other franchises, like just a really respected coach in the coaching world. So sending prayers up to Wash. As far as the Angels go specifically, this is a team that's been better than Atlanta this year, but this is still a team that you should feel confident in your ability to compete with and beat, especially on your home field. And, you know, Los Angeles is one game below 500 right now. They're third in the AL West, which is a little bit of a struggle bus division this year. It's worth acknowledging that the Angels are playing significantly better baseball right now than they have been. They beat the Yankees on the road 3 out of 4. They lost 2 out of 3 to Houston at home, but then they swept Boston to the tune of 3 straight at home. They had Washington at home and lost 2 out of 3. So you're getting a mixed bag, and you know what? When you're a 500 club, you get a mixed bag. That's kind of what you sign up for as a 500 baseball team. But, John, when I look at this team and when I look at their success throughout the course of the season,
I don't see anything that sticks out. I don't see any particular players that stick out amongst the bunch outside of Trout. Obviously, that goes without saying. Zach Neto's had a pretty good year as well, and Taylor Ward's a fine player. But if the Braves have aspirations of getting themselves back into this thing, they need to win 2 out of 3 against an Angels team that's pretty mediocre in a very similar fashion to Atlanta.
Yeah, this is two teams that are kind of looking each other in the mirror, if you will. You know, very, very similar. I think more financial commitments made to the Braves, but they've been a little bit of a better team than you so far this year, at least from a win-loss perspective.
Yeah, they have.
I am really curious to see how the Braves operate not playing a division foe. Because we've seen for the last while now, with it being the Phillies, the Mets, the Marlins, and then the Mets, you've been playing division baseball since June 15th.
Yeah.
Really curious to see the mental approach taken today. How does the day off affect this team? I am fascinated to see what the lineup is tonight. Cannot wait to see that. Michael Harris, is he going to be back into the fold, or is he going to continue his riding of the pine? Very interested to see what the mentality is from Snitker all the way down after a day off where you're now going and playing a couple of American League opponents for the next little while. You're out of division play for several weeks. Just curious of what the approach is going to be tonight.
Yeah, you've got Didier Fuentes going against Tyler Anderson. Yeah, I mean,
how long is the Didier Fuentes experiment going to last?
This is probably the last start, I would guess.
You don't think he starts Sunday against Baltimore?
If he does, I think that's kind of a white flag at that point if tonight doesn't go well. I'm shocked they're rolling him back out there. I think it's more of a, your options in AAA aren't much better right now, so you might as well let the young kid wear it and get some experience to make yourselves feel a little bit better about your farm system, I guess is the ideology here. You flip-flopped Fuentes and Holmes to kind of stack Schwelly, Schrider 1-2, and then maybe potentially get Fuentes on the back end, but I'm not 100% sure of what the ideology will be with Didier Fuentes and Grant Holmes going forward and where they're going to align in the rotation. As far as Fuentes specifically goes, I guess my question would just be, what is the other option at this point?
That's exactly what I was just going to ask. If he does not have a good outing tonight, and if it looks more like the ones that he has had, what do the Braves do? 654 Roar. Braves fans, I would love to get your opinions on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line.
Yeah.
What do the Braves, if the Fuentes start goes poorly tonight, what do you do?
Okay, so Mark Bowman broke this. I knew I saw something about it. Mark Bowman broke this like legitimately 8 minutes ago. The Braves have flip-flopped Holmes and Fuentes, so Holmes will go tonight and Fuentes will go tomorrow. ESPN hasn't updated it yet. So let me walk this out for a second. I think they're doing this because I think this is Fuentes' last start with the Major League club. Because, John, if you look at how the pitching stacks up, you just asked about that Sunday against Baltimore, right? Well, the Braves have an off day between Sunday and Tuesday with Baltimore and Oakland, or Sacramento now, traveling. So I bet what they're going to do with flip-flopping Holmes and Fuentes is start Holmes in that last game against Baltimore and then skip Fuentes' spot in the rotation. I bet that's what they're going to do. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
That has to be what the logical plan is, right? Because there's no other reason to flip-flop them unless you're thinking a series ahead in which you could potentially take a break. So ESPN hasn't updated yet, neither of these sites, but Mark Bowman and others in the Atlanta beat reporting that Holmes and Fuentes have been flip-flopped as of, like, legitimately 15 minutes ago in Atlanta. So I guess that has to be the plan, and I would also guess as a part of that that this is probably Didier Fuentes' last MLB start, because if you look at how the pitching and the rotation aligns, if you skip his day, you only have 6 games left, and you could potentially throw somebody on short rest on the last game before the All-Star break. You feel pretty comfortable doing that because guess what? They're going to get 2 weeks off, and then you just pick up in the next half of the season and hope that Sale is ready to rock at that point. I think that's probably what the tentative plan is. If he makes more than one start at the Major League level going forward, John, I would be pretty shocked with the way that he's gotten roughed up his last couple times out there, because the kid's just missing in the wrong spots right now. He's missing high, and he's missing middle high with the fastball, and he doesn't have enough command on the breaking speed. He doesn't know how to pitch. He's just throwing, and he's 20, right? Like, it's going to come with time, but it's been a rough watch his last couple times out there for sure.
Yeah, I hope for the young man's future that they don't keep him up very long.
Yeah.
he needs to get back down to the minors and work on some stuff.
And figure some stuff out, yeah.
What are you hoping to see tonight from the Atlanta Braves against these Angels? And I we just kind of talked about the pitching, but what do you want to see out of the lineup tonight? Who needs to produce? Who needs to step up? Who needs to have a big series over these next 3 days?
I would like to see Ozuna get back on track, because if he doesn't, I'm going to continue to maintain that I think he needs to take a stay on the IL. Maybe they're just holding him out towards the All-Star break at this point, and maybe he can hit the mental reset button at that point. But I would go actually a two-pronged answer, Riley and Ozuna. Those are the two guys that have been the most disappointing to me throughout the course of the season. And yes, I know Michael Harris, and we've ran through all the data about why he's the worst hitter in the major leagues right now, and Ozzy's having the worst year of his career. I'm more disappointed in Riley and Ozuna specifically, because I knew coming into the season what the holes in the deficiencies in Harris and Albie's game were, right? Like, I knew that Ozzy had regressed the last couple years. I knew that next step was probably coming for him physically. With Michael Harris, his approach has always sucked, and he had regressed in each of the previous 2 years. Did I think he'd be this bad, and did I think Ozzy would be this bad? No, but I thought the writing was kind of on the wall with those two in comparison to Riley, who is the highest-paid player in the history of the franchise, and Ozuna, who was coming off a monster year. So those are the two that I'm hyper-fixating on in the middle of the order, because we both continue to maintain, if Ozuna and Riley were pulling their weight and that middle of the order was hitting like the 23 Braves, you could get away with Harris and Allen at the bottom of the order, and it wouldn't be that big of a deal, because shortstop and center field will always be where the most value comes from defensive players at that position, in those positions respectively. So that's where I'm at, John. I really need a big weekend from Riley. I'd love to see Riley hit some home runs. I know that's a simplistic ask, but I miss the pop in Austin Riley's bat, and I know he's got a decent amount this year, but it's just not the same where he was slugging it in 2023 or even a couple years before that. I want to see Austin Riley hit a couple home runs this weekend would be my primary ask. And Ozuna, I'd like to see him start to turn things around where he was at the beginning of the year as well.
You know, we're looking. Chad the mailman gets in. He's looking for Nick Allen to be denied access to the ballpark. Let me comb some numbers here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's tied for 6th in batting average on this team.
Nick Allen's not that bad, bro. I continue to say, Nick Allen's not that bad. Nick Allen's the least of the Braves' problems right now. I do respect Chad digging his heels in, though.
He's committed.
Yeah, he's committed. That's never been a question with Chad. I mean, he's a Bears fan.
He's as committed to hating on Nick Allen as the Bears are committed to not having a 4,000-yard passer.
He's as committed to Nick Allen as Bears fans probably are, like back and forth of checking themselves into a mental facility on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah, he ain't that bad.
Yeah, he's not that bad. Sorry, Chad, that was a little bit of a stripe, but it is what it is. Texter gets in and says, what is the line for the game tonight now that the pitching has switched? May find some value with the Braves. I haven't checked. I would assume the Braves are marginal favorites. The last that I'm seeing as far as the line goes for tonight, I'm seeing some Braves minus 140, but I don't know. I don't know if they've updated that to account for the pitching yet, Austin, so I'll check in with you later during the program. I'm seeing Braves minus 185 right now, and that was with Fuentes, so I'm not sure. That might be closer to minus 200. Vegas still thinks the Braves are really good. I don't know what that means at this point, but the Braves are favored in a lot of games. They don't win them.
I think Vegas is more positive about the Braves than Braves fans are about the Braves.
Yeah, that's 100% the case. But yeah, I mean, we've run through the Braves extensively throughout the course of this season, and you know, it's soon to be through the All-Star break as well. And you know, ever since the 0-7 start, my messaging has been 500 at the All-Star break and let the chips fall in the second half and make some moves. And you get Profar back at some point this week as well. So I'm really excited.
Isn't this the last game without Profar?
I want to say Profar's back tomorrow, right? If I'm not mistaken with that, let me check on that to make sure we're not spreading misinformation here. But Profar, I saw that he was slated to return Wednesday. Yeah, it looks like Profar is eligible to be back tomorrow, which is July 2nd. When he comes back, he's expected to be the everyday left fielder is what the messaging is currently from Atlanta. So Profar's back tomorrow. That should help give you a little bit of a boost offensively and defensively. And Profar can also play the middle infield spots, which feels worth acknowledging for the struggles of Ozzy and Nick Allen at the plate.
As long as he can pass a drug test.
As long as he can pass a drug test and doesn't get popped for PEDs again. Saw a couple Braves fans say that they were going to boo Profar. Boo him. I don't care. Boo him. Because that was selfish. And even if you do get to the playoffs now, he can't even play. So that's been...
I guess you could take solace in the fact that he'll be booing with you in the stands in the playoffs if that's the case.
Yeah, that's a good point. He'll have a front row seat. John...
Unfortunately, he'll have a better seat than, you know, any of the actual fans in attendance.
Yeah. Texter gets in and says, Andrew Heaney and IKF from the Pirates help us out. Heaney sucks, but I know we are desperate. I was going to say something similar about the Pirates, John. I would still anticipate you guys to be a seller. I'd like Bednar, maybe Heaney as well as just a rotational piece. And Kiner Falefa has been a pretty bad player for the majority of his career, but he appears to be half decent this year for Pittsburgh.
He's Nick Allen.
He is Nick Allen.
But not as good at defense.
Yeah, and a little bit
better
at offense.
That's exactly who he is.
Yeah, he's Nick Allen.
So actually, you know, I would love for this trade to happen. I would love for it to happen. So you can have just more of the same player.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I think Andrew Haney would be a plus value add into the rotation for the Braves, especially if you get word that maybe the timeline and Chris Sale is going to be a little bit longer if it doesn't look like Ronaldo Lopez will join this team at all. But, I mean, who's to say that the Pirates aren't going to be buyers? You know, four in a row, just absolutely demolishing teams. Beat the Cardinals, what, 7-0 last night?
Yeah. The Pirates
like
are
I
raking.
Said, some are saying the hottest team in baseball. Some are saying it.
They're raking right now. Brian Hayes on a 9-game hit streak. Get that trade up, young man.
That is absurd.
Yeah.
That is absurd because that young man, could, I mean, if y'all thought Michael Harris was bad at hitting, goodness gracious, he's atrocious at times. But no, he has been fantastic this season, no doubt about it.
Reynolds is having a down year, but I was looking at some of his batted ball data, and it appears he's just getting really unlucky. Obviously, he hasn't been as good as the typical all-star Brian Reynolds we're used to seeing, but I see people saying that Pittsburgh finally gave out a contract and now it's a bad one. No, it's not. Brian Reynolds is good, and people that are overreacting over 80 games need to stop. Brian Reynolds has been good for the last 5 years, so I still believe in his game. You can always get that contract off the books because there's going to be a team that will take him across the league if you need to. Listen, my opinion with Pittsburgh is the same that it's always been. They're not in a bad spot. They're not in a bad spot.
Well,
and they're not in a bad spot from a future perspective with the arms. Like, I really like Jared Jones. I really like Paul Skeens. I love a ton of the pitching prospects. Bubba Chandler is going to be a rock star. You got to get some bats, and you got to get some vets in there within your lineup that are going to be able to help and help lead some of these young guys. And it would also help if some of your prospects could pan out that aren't pitchers, like, ever. That would also very, very much help the cause. Like, I'm looking at you, Henry Davis. I'm looking at you, Joey Bart. I'm looking at you, Jared Triolo. Let's pick it up, guys. Let's find a way to contribute because all three of those guys were pretty highly coveted prospects and none have necessarily panned out to date. So the Davis thing is weird. I was really convinced he was going to be good, but it just hasn't necessarily worked out yet. Sometimes you see guys hit strides a little bit later in Major League Baseball, though, so definitely don't want to count anybody out. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in with us. Phone lines are open. Adams Co. Roofing text line is open. Hour number two of the program, we'll be talking college football, a little bit more Braves and some NFL as well after a crazy trade yesterday that we got in real time. Stick with us here on The Roar. Facts on Sports, hour number two, right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.